is the start of the tickling season. And here's the world's leading tickleologist, the man you've all paid 30 guineas to see, the star of the Ken Dodd Show, Dickie Mintz.
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! Dickie Mintz maniacs! I can't tell you what great pleasure it gives me to be standing here with me kilt full of fluff. I would like to thank the Lady Mayoress for giving me the opportunity of appearing here. As you probably know, my beautiful home was burnt to the ground during the night. Thank you, dear old pals. I will now empty this basin full of steaming hot peas down the back of this Scoutmaster's shorts. I'm sorry, sir, I forgot the salt. And now I will perform the most difficult movement in ballet, the supreme split. You can only do it once. Pay attention and you will see me leave the stage in opposite directions. Cease this wild feeling or I shall stop throwing these pound notes at you. Oh, well, right, that's it. My lords, ladies, and thingies, diddy men and diddy women, I would like to say that it gives me great pleasure and a wonderful feeling of plumptuousness to come here today to declare open this new wing of this magnificent herb shop. I can honestly say that I've never seen such a collection of magnificent herbs in all me Dickie Mint. I've got something here that should interest all gardeners and animal lovers. It's a packet of dog seed. So I'll just pop one of these dog seeds into 3 inches of soil, like so. A drop of water. Now, what's this? Ah, lovely. A magnificent dog daisy. Down, daisy. See, it's like William Shakespeare said, now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer, so to the love of you. And now we come to our new parlor game, in which contestants have 10 seconds to answer the question. If they give the correct answer, they will hear, or if they give the wrong answer, they will hear... But we haven't got time for that new game, so now we'll go straight into the yes-no interlude, in which the contestants must not use the word yes or no. Could we have the first contestant, please? And your name is?
Duncan McKay from a long way away.
Oh, ah, yes. And where are you from, then?
From Loch Nechenochia, where we have a saying, may a moose ne'er leave your gurnal hungry, may your lum reek slantiva.
Very good. It's Drunken Duncan. Come on, let's get on with the yes-no interlude. Your name is Duncan McRae.
Yes.
You didn't nod your head then, did you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you down here on holiday?
Yes.
Enjoying yourself?
No.
Is the wife with you?
Yes.
Are you sure you didn't nod your head then?
Yes.
Time's up. You've won the $5.
Thank you.
I haven't won a game yet. I think I'll go out into the street and see if anybody's dropped any money. Hi, Jones. What a beautiful day for starting a vice racket. What'll I do next? I know. I'll go over to that policeman and pretend that I've lost my memory. Excuse me, officer.
Yes, sir?
I'm sorry to have to trouble you, officer, but I've lost my memory, and I can't even remember my name.
Amnesia.
No, officer. No, no, that's not my name.
No, sir. No. What I mean is, when you lose your memory, that's called amnesia.
Oh, I didn't know that, officer. And even if I did know, I wouldn't remember, because I've got amnesia.
Loss of memory, eh?
Who has?
You have, sir.
Have I? Oh, I've forgotten. I've got it pretty bad, haven't I?
You have indeed, sir. Can't you remember anything?
No, it's a complete blank. When I left our house at 8 o'clock precisely this morning, I said to my mother, who was wearing a blue dress, some of which was a white apron, I said, I'll bet you anything you like, I lose my memory today.
And you were right, sir.
I can't remember a thing now, Auntie.
I'm a constable, sir.
You see, they are. I can't remember a thing now.
Well, there's only one thing to do, sir. I'll take you down to the station. We start from there.
Yeah, that's a good idea, sailor. Right, let's go.
Now, to the station. Come this way.
Yes.
Is it this way or down the other way? I can't remember where the flipping station is. Where's the station? You've got to help me. Who are you?
Now, don't upset yourself, Vicar.
Vicar? Am I the vicar? What am I doing dressed up as a policeman? Where am I? A Merry Christmas. Here, where's my lovely face?
I'll look after you, your lordship. Right, come with me. Here we are. Come in this place with me. This is the BBC Sound Library. This is where they keep all the unusual recordings. Look at all these. Now, here's an unusual recording of great medical interest. It's a recording of the tallest man in the world who's gone to see his doctor to have a plaster pulled off his back.
Just hold still. This won't take a moment. There we are. Beautiful. Now, I'd better put it back on again. That's it. No, on second thoughts, it had better come off.
Oh, no.
Now, that's better, isn't it?
Oh, yes, Doctor.
Now then, what about the one on your chest?
I haven't got a plaster on my chest.
You have now.
There's nothing wrong with my chest.
Oh, well, in that case, it'd have to come off.
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that the giggle goose is so called because it lays a fluffy egg?
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that during the mating season, a submarine lays 3,000 tins of sardines?
Well, what do you know?
Well, I happen to know that there's a very good-looking young Irish gentleman waiting to sing for us. It's Val Dunica.
Now, if all the women in the town were bundled up together, the girl I love would bathe them all in any kind of weather. She doesn't wash the powder off because she doesn't wear it. Her face and figure are all her own, is true, for I declare that she's a fine, big, strong lump of an agricultural Irish girl. She neither paints nor powders, and her figure is all her own. But she can hit that hard. Oh, you think it's the kick of a mule you got, the full of your arms of Irish love was Mary Ann Malone. She's only 17 last grass and still improving greatly. I wonder what she will be like when her bones are set completely. You think your hand was in the voice the moment that she shakes it, and if there's any gin around, it's Mary Ann that takes it. Cause she's a fine, big, strong lump of an agricultural Irish girl. She neither paints nor powders, and her figure is all her own. But she can hit that hard. Oh, you think it's the kick of a mule you got, the full of your arms of Irish love was Mary Ann Malone. That's it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I'm very glad you did that because I've got to sing another one anyway. Here it is.
Now Delaney had the donkey that everyone admired, temporarily lazy and permanently tired, a leg at every corner balancing his head, and a tail to let you know which end he wanted to be fed. Royally slyly said, "We've underrated it, why not train it?" Then they took a rag, they rubbed it, scrubbed it, they oiled and imbricated it, got it at the post, and when they started, dropped the flag. There was Royally pushing it, shoving it, shushing it, oh, Logan, Logan, and everyone in town lined up attacking it and shoving it and smacking it. They might try to push the town hall down. The donkey was eyeing them, openly defying them, winking, blinking, and twisting out of place. Royally reversing it, everybody cursing it. The day Delaney's donkey ran the half-mile race, the muscles of the mighty never known to flinch. They couldn't move the donkey a quarter of an inch. Delaney lay exhausted, hanging round his throat, with a grip just like a Scotsman on a 5-pound note. Hagen, Fagen were students of psychology, swore they'd shift him with some dynamite. They bought it, brought it, and without apology, the donkey gave a sneeze and blew the whole lot out of sight. And there was Royally pushing it, shoving it, shushing it, Hogan, Logan, and all the bally crew. Police and auxiliary, the garrison artillery, the second in the skillings and the lifeguards too. They seized it and harried it, they picked it up and carried it, cheered it, steered it to the winning place. Then the bookmaker threw a sigh, and they all committed suicide. The day Delaney's donkey won the half-mile race.
Have a break. Have a knick-knack. Tomorrow, when you go to your grocer, say to him,
"Have you got a knick-knack?"
The knick-knack man will be in your district tomorrow.
Good morning. I'm Nicky the knick-knack man.
Would you like a free sample of knick-knack?
How dare you!
Oh,
I'm on a diet!
Win £5. Remember, to win £5, all you have to do is get the wrappers of 6 medium-sized Welshmen. Trouble with your feet? Remove that stubborn corn with... all the wrappers of 6 giant-sized Welshmen. Treat yourself to a bottle of Dodgegen tonic wine. After only one bottle of Dodgegen tonic wine, Mrs. T.R. of Devon said... Dodgegen tonic wine for a new you.
I tried Dodgegen tonic wine and it certainly made a difference to me. After only one small glass of my little boy's... What's happened, Daddy?
Mr. D.M. of Glasgow has this to say.
Thanks to Dodgegen tonic wine, I now have a nasty habit of removing my kilt in public.
Get Dodgegen tonic wine tomorrow at the amazingly low cost of twopence a quart. In £5, all you need are the singlets of 48 traffic wardens. Hello, all you angling enthusiasts. This is your old angling pal, Ivor Whopper. I'll not keep you a minute. I just want to throw this old trout back in. It's the wife's mother. I never did like the woman. Now then, the joys of angling, and by Jove, they are many. Many's the happy hour I've spent on the banks of this river. I've done a lot of fishing here as well. Now, before we start, I'll just have a look at my equipment. By Jove, this is a little basket. I must get a bigger one. Now, you don't need me to tell you that the angler must have the proper tackle. Now, there's a fella on the opposite bank from here, and he's got a first-class tackle. As the young lady tried to make a dash for it, he grabbed her by the ankles. You know, there's a great deal of satisfaction felt by the angler when he lands his very first catch. No matter how small the fish is, he's still rightly proud of himself. And he goes into work after his weekend's fishing, and he says to all his workmates, "Good morning, I've got a tiddler." "We believe you," is their astonished reply. Well, now, let's get down to some fishing. I've got my favourite hook on this time, and it's a little bit bent because the last time I used it, it took me 20 minutes to get it out of the wife's nose. Now, well back over your head with the rod to cast the line, right back, and then a quick jerk like so. Oh, dearie me. A pair of trousers. First, you need a piece of navy blue cloth and a needle. Now, about a yard of cotton, a thimble.
It's time for us once again to turn the clock back a few decades to the time of the hansom cab.
And the Oakley cabby.
Let us relive the world events of Grandfather's Day in all our yesterdays.
The date is October the 27th, 1902. That intrepid swimmer, Captain Webb, at the start of his historic attempt to swim to France, seen here diving off the pier at Dover.
I do this for England!
Captain Webb decides to try again later when the tide comes in. We see now a little figure beloved by millions with his little cane, bowler hat, and baggy trousers. Yes, Stanley Baldwin. Sport and a rare film of Max Schmeling. September the Humpty Tooth. Here we see Captain Webb at the start of his historic swim to France, diving off the pier at Dover for the second time.
For England!
For the first time in history, the channel has frozen over. October the Nicky New. All Britain thrills to the voice of Dame Nellie Elbow at Covent Garden.
Well, I'm a tenor of pan, he's lovely tomato.
Ticklebelly the Humpty Twunk. Florrie Ford invents the motor car. The Shah of Abu Dhabi arrives in England and requests a loan from the British government.
Just 5 bob till Friday, please.
Finally, and at long last, Captain Webb comes to the end of his epic swim from England to France. And is greeted by the people of France.
I've done it! I've done it for England!
Ah, be good, Captain. I have you got bad news for you. Be with I have that. Welcome to Tipperary.
Oh, no!
Where are you off to, Captain?
Up the nearest creek.
Hang on, I'll come with you. Tatty bye, everybody.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the sleep...
He's a wonderful actor. Magnificent. It's amazing.
Or to take arms against...
He has to walk standing up. How does he do it? I'm told that his body, his entire body, is a mass of skin.
And he's still working.
His father was a thespian.
The swine.
The younger brother's got a harmonica.
Oh, poor boy. Hey, we've got a lot to be thankful for.
His wife left him last week to have her hair permed. She's a soubrette.
Foreigners. I've heard enough. I can't sit here and listen to him after what you've just told me. I must leave. I'm going to ask my money back.
I'll come with you, Edith.
We've had a letter asking if you'll sing one of your romantic songs.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I thought I'd forgotten to post it. What did I ask myself to sing, Judith?
It's Great by Ken. 8x10. Oh, yeah.
Eight by ten. 8x10. My lonely world is only 8x10. I'm looking at the picture that we I see the words I love you by your name. But someone else has gone. I now found you, and now I'm left with just this picture frame. 8x10, 8x10. I'm looking at your picture, 8x10. 8x10, 8x10. My lonely world is only 8x10. If I could be the glass that holds your picture, those lips I love would then be close to me, and so I'll always keep and hold your picture until the day that you come back to me. 8x10. 8x10, a souvenir of things that might have been. 8x10, 8x10, my lonely world is only 8x10. My lonely world is over.
And now stand well back, because it's time to meet not the world's greatest, but the world's worst. That unfortunate band of well-meaning people who could never do a thing right. Men like Flight Sergeant Dodbuster, the world's worst bomb aimer.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bombs away, sir.
You fool! We're still in the hangar!
Stepping into the spotlight comes Byron Dodd, the world's worst poet.
As I wander o'er the lea, I wish that you were here with I. I see your face in the stars above, because you are the one I like very much. And as I lay upon the hummock, a spider ran over me leg and disappeared behind me kneecap. With you I'd like to spend my life. Will you consent to be my owl woman?
Hey, will you? Hey, oh, go on, girl.
Hurrying to the scene of an accident is Joe Dodley, the world's worst first aid man.
Yes, I know you've broken both your legs, but try and stand still for a moment, will you?
And if you can help it, never take a driving lesson with Mr. Dodpoles, the worst ever driving instructor.
Now, that's fine. Now, that's fine. Very good. Very good. Lovely. Lovely. Now, straight down this cul-de-sac and turn sharp left to the bottom.
Which brings us to the epic tale of a stout-hearted young man who showed unlimited qualities of resourcefulness in his untiring efforts to become a first-class doctor.
My name is Rufus Jukabuti. I have other problems as well. I first became interested in the medical profession some years ago when I found myself trapped underneath a steamroller. Some months later, I was rushed to St. Albert's Hospital suffering from a severe attack of the St. Albert's. And I can remember waking up and finding myself encased in plaster. The ceiling had just fell in. St. Albert's was a private hospital run by a Scottish gentleman, Dr. McKipper, the boneless surgeon. He was a nice man, aged about 5'6". I lay in my little bed, waiting for him to come and examine me. And then I got the shock of my life as I saw him making his way down the ward.
Whoa, girl, whoa. There. Are you the new patient?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Hold still while I shine this torch into your eyes. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dearie, dear, dear, dearie me.
What is it, Doctor?
Well, either the battery's flat or you died 2 hours ago.
I was beginning to feel very sorry for myself, till one day, round about lunchtime, a new patient was admitted. He seemed to be in great pain.
Oh.
What's the trouble?
I've got wrist holes.
Hard lines, I had them yesterday. Horrible things. My biggest problem at St. Albert's was the matron, Miss Treat. Every night at 9 o'clock, she'd put our lights out with an enamel bowl. Oh, ow!
Oh, you poor little thing. Let matron rub it for him,
oh,
then.
Oh, get off, missus.
Oh, look at him sitting up in his little bed all lonely. Haven't you had any visitors?
Not since you sprinkled the DDT around my bed.
That's nice. Oh, look at his face. It's gone all little. Now then, give matron a big kiss, night-night. I'll get the screens and we'll have a little cuddle.
I haven't had me cocoa yet.
You don't want any cocoa?
Of course I want cocoa. Me card's stamped up.
All right. I won't be long.
Fortunately, before she returned, I was discharged from the hospital, along with 53 other patients, when the boilers blew up in the cellar. When the new hospital was built, I applied for the post of assistant to Dr. MacKipper. I stood outside his office, me legs trembling. I went back to me trousers. I knocked at the door in Scottish.
Come in, come in, come in, come in, come in.
Good afternoon, after.
What can I do for you?
I've got an appointment.
How long have you had it?
About a week now.
And does it hurt much?
Only when I walk up cliffs.
Ah, you're young Chickabuddy, aren't you?
Yes, Doctor, yes.
Aye, well, let me ask you one or two medical questions. Now, what would you do if you found yourself with a case of Wilkinson syndrome?
I'd send it back. I never drink the stuff.
Well, that was the answer I was expecting.
Thank you.
Well, the job's yours. Come on now, and I'll show you round.
Where are we off to now, Doctor?
Do you think you have sufficient experience to assist me in the operating theatre?
Oh, of course.
Very well, then. In here.
Ah, yeah. Oh, so this is your operating theatre?
Mm-hmm.
Say, look at all the notices on the wall. No dogs allowed except on a leash. Tonsils removed while you wait. All prices flushed. What sort of an operation are we going to do?
Well, it's never been done before. It's what they call a psychological operation. You see, my theory is that if a man has all his teeth removed and his nose flattened and his head shaved, he'll lose all conceit and think of what he can do for others rather than what he can do for himself.
Oh, very good. Oh, this'll be good. Where's the patient?
Lie down in this table.
All his teeth taken out. And, hey, me? No, no, listen.
Matron?
No.
Yes, doctor?
Put his lights out.
Yes, certainly, doctor.
Oh, no, oh, no, help! Help! No!
Also taking part in the Tickle Tournament, you heard Duncan McRae, Percy Edwards, Peter Hudson, Patricia Hayes, Wallace Eaton, Val Dunican, and Judith Chalmers. The BBC Review Orchestra, leader Julian Guyard, conductor Malcolm Lockyer. The script was written by Eddie Braben and Ken Dodd, and the show, which was recorded, was produced by Bill Worsley.